On the show today, we have Elevation Credit Union's Steve Schmidl talking about his three strategic planning tips for 2017, so check it out. Getting to the topic at hand here, you wrote an article in CU in Credit Union Journal a couple of weeks back about three strategic planning tips for 2017. And as we all know, we're kind of in the planning mode, the planning time of the year here. And we all have good intentions with lofty goals and all that type of stuff. How do we keep those strategic plans from becoming dusty documents on that office shelf that so often happens?
It does happen a lot. It's hard to do, I think. But I think for most credit unions, they do a good job when it comes to spending the time and putting in the effort to work with their boards to get the plan written itself.
Yep.
The hard part is actually, once that happens, how much time and how much effort do you put into that? And my argument is that you've got to put much more time into, after the plan is written, into the actual distribution and execution of it itself. I think a way you do that, and it falls wholly on the executive team, is they've got to make an emotional connection throughout the organization to the why. The strategic plan can't be just a list of the things we're going to do in the next year, 3 years, 5 years. It has to get to the heart of the why, get that emotional connection that can be communicated throughout the organization, and get people to believe in and understand how mission, vision, value translates into the things that will eventually come out and be a result of the strategic plan being implemented.
I like the why, because I think so many people forget to ask that question. Why are we doing this? You know, why are we doing this project? Or why are we trying to accomplish that goal? So many people forget about that in the planning process. Like you said, so many of us are just like so focused on the task list. Okay, this is what we're going to do in March. This is what we're going to do in June, blah, blah, blah. And then once those come around, it's like, well, why are we doing this again?
How do we choose that? Yeah.
I think we've all been there, done that. So, hey, and one thing I read in the article that one thing, you guys won the Malcolm Baldridge National Quality Award. And if you can just give us a quick summary on what that award's all about. And then what did it teach you to get to your current mindset?
Yeah, the Baldridge Performance Excellence Award is the new name of it. It's a national presidential award. So Congress back in the 80s, when America was having trouble competing against foreign up-and-coming countries like Japan, created this program that really taught businesses how to link execution, performance, and results to compete. And it's grown over the years. They've awarded it to a little bit over 100 companies in the past three decades. So not that many, actually. And we're one of those 100.
Wow. So
we're proud of. It's really just a set of questions. The criteria is a set of questions. It's non-prescriptive. There's no answers in it. It just forces you to try to make the connections that link strategy with execution. So that's the benefit we got. It was that discipline on making that linkage between mission, vision, values, strategy, and actually executing and making decisions off of those foundational elements.
So you guys are literally walking your talk. So winning something like that. Well done. A nice feather in your cap. So let's get to the list of the three strategic planning tips that you provided in the article. So number one, you say communicate and delegate. Can you expand on this?
Yeah, I think obviously once you get the plan written, you've got to get it out there. It's, again, easier to do if you've got that emotional connection to the why. They understand why they're doing it. They can focus on how to do it. So operationally, we do that through a number of ways. There's obviously the communication of it itself, which comes from our executive team to try to explain, again, reiterate the why, reiterate our foundational elements, and build from there. We also use a lot of operational aspects such as just goal setting. We have our goals that cascade from the strategic plan down to more annual business plans, and then down to individuals and teams, and they're held accountable to meeting those expectations. Those business plans that I mentioned are also a big part of it. Maybe there's lots of credit unions that do this, but what we do is we take the strategic plan, which is that 3 to 5 year look, and then we using the same format, the same language, we take that into a 12 to 18 month look. So we do that. We force all our organizations to really understand what the next 12 to 18 months are and write the plans themselves on how they will support that. So we have different areas that will have almost all of our areas, everything from facilities to operations to sales teams that will say, you know, in order to meet this goal in the next 12 to 18 months and eventually our strategic plan, we need to do these things ourselves as a team.
Okay, very cool.
All the way up.
Wow. So that kind of segues into number two. Your tip number two is make sure employees understand and have a say. So can you talk about this one a little bit too?
Yeah. I think the way we do this is by involving them at both ends of strategic planning. Obviously, in the beginning, we want to get as much information. We do a SWOT analysis or a PESTEL analysis to really understand our opportunities and where we might want to take actions. Mm-hmm. So we gather that from our board, our executive team, our leadership team. Most of the organization has that input into the beginning of the strategic planning mm-hmm. process. But then at the end, after the strategic plan is written, it's written at a pretty high level still. Mm-hmm. We need to figure out the how, you know, what we're actually going to do to do that. So that's where those business plans I mentioned came in. So we, again, involve the leadership team in totality in writing the how within their business plans in support of the organizational plan.
Okay. Yeah, I've always heard the term alignment as well. It's like having everybody aligned on the same page from top to bottom in order to achieve that goal. So very cool stuff. All right, number three, which I really like, is never stop planning because it's a process. So can you explain this one too as well?
Yeah, there's two pieces of it to me. One I've already mentioned, it's the yin and the yang between the long-term strategic plan and the shorter-term business plan. Mm-hmm. That shorter-term business plan is really a living document. We force ourselves at least every 6 months to go back and see how we're doing, you know, have a checkup and mm-hmm. things change mm-hmm. as they always do and recalculating what those new expectations might be for the next 6 months.
Okay.
So there's that operational aspect of it, but I think that the bigger piece is just incorporating it into the daily life of the organization by not putting it on your shelf. We keep it from ending up on the dusty shelf by building the lexicon, the language, the thoughts of it into everything from agendas in business meetings to those individual responsibilities mm-hmm. and goal setting process. So it's something that we just force ourselves to reiterate, to use, to always make sure we're not losing sight of. And it also allows others in the organization that understand the plan to call us out on it if we seem to be going awry, mm-hmm. Going off plan.
Yeah, you don't want to go down the wrong railroad tracks on these guys. So yeah, because I was going to ask you, it's like, okay, what do you guys do specifically? Because it's so easy, like we talked about at the top of the show, is like, okay, once we got the plan done, once we got it approved, it's like, then you can kind of take a collective breath and, hey, let's go get lunch and then forget about it, you know? But no, I mean, you really, you keep saying the word, you got to force yourself to go back to it and address it. And then I think the key word here again is execution. You got to continue to execute on that stuff.
Yeah. It is critical. You got to force ourselves, even, you know, top to bottom. It's easy to forget and day to day activities that take our time and attention. And you really got to force yourself to revisit these.
Well, it's kind of like a map too, you know, it's kind of like your roadmap for the next year. So, okay, well, we're going to go to this town. We're going to go to this town and get this done. We're going to go to this town and get this done. Okay. Kind of the same lines.
Yep. Exactly. It's a process.
Okay, cool. And if you forget the map, then you have nowhere to go. You don't know where to go.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. All right, Steve. So, one of the things that I saw in there, and this is kind of wrapping up here, one of the statements in there is that you said how to get the right people in the right room with the right information at the right time to make the right decisions. How do you do this?
This is something we worked through on our Baldrige journey. It's not easy. We called that whole idea of everything you just said our operational rhythm. There's lots of meetings out there. Everybody's calendars are full. So how can we make sure we are not making important decisions in hallway conversations or water cooler conversations, and we have the right people involved often every month to take that data in and make those decisions. And it was one of the hardest things that we did during that journey towards winning the award. The hardest thing was really just the natural personalities involved. You know, so you had to find the people that wanted to play team ball. Really, they wanted to open up. They didn't want to protect their turf. They wanted to show everybody what they're doing because mm-hmm. they understood that if they could do it better for the next person in the process, that overall we'd all be better. So we had to, you know, work through the folks that didn't really understand or believe in that process. and just create that joint accountability once we had the right folks in there, again, focusing on, building off of our foundation and our strategy and revisiting that often, having those right conversations and, eventually making decisions, the important decisions based on the data we had and those strategic foundations. Again, it wasn't easy, and we still struggle with it to this day. It's very easy to go back just because, the data is probably the hardest thing right now for us is getting the right decisions. And once we do that, we find it much easier to all come to an agreement that this is the right direction to move.
Indeed, indeed. Gosh, I mean, is anything worthwhile easy? I don't think so. I mean, everything worthwhile is challenging to do. So I think you guys are on the right track there. So very cool.
Exactly.
Any final thoughts or advice for creatines out there, Steve, to wrap up here? Because this has been some excellent information with some great takeaways.
Oh, thank you. I guess the final thought would just be this. This isn't entirely an operational plug-and-play type thing. It is a culture change. Mm-hmm. And culture change has to start, in my opinion, at the top. If the rest of the organization sees the strategic plan put on a shelf and ignored by the executives, they're going to do the same thing. So it has to start at the top. You have to set the expectations within the culture that we mean it. You know, when we set this path, we intend to go down it, and we're going to continue to use that map, as you say, to get us there.
Very cool. Great message to end on, Steve. Thank you so much for hanging out with us for a few minutes today and divulging these tips. And I'm sure a lot of other credit unions around the country are like, yeah, let's do that. We got to force ourselves to do all this stuff. So thank you for those words of wisdom, sir.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And keep up the good work, all right?
Will do.
All righty.